Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Ian, congratulations is in order.
To?
Caroline Fenton.
Oh, okay.
So Caroline made
what did
a mistake.
I do?
Caroline made the mistake of informing me before this segment that last night when she was not watching the Hall of Fame game.
I was not, no.
She went out to dinner. She got recognized out in public for the first time in Nashville. Ladies and gentlemen, congratulations
Thank
to
you.
Caroline Fenton.
Between, Thank you very much.
Between that and throwing the first pitch out at the Sounds game, First Horizon Park, 7 o'clock on Saturday night. Tickets still available.
Thank you, Ian.
There we go.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations to the celebrity profile that is Caroline Fenton.
Thank you so much. People Magazine actually reached out to me for an interview this morning, and I said, you guys, I'm trying to stay humble. You know, I'm just trying to stay under the radar here. But really just kind of blowing up as a celebrity. I'm going out into public with sunglasses on. I can hardly get out without the paparazzi. Really has been a tough 24 hours for me. But you know what? That's just what I do for the fans.
So I have a buddy who's like everybody else, like a singer-songwriter kind of, you know, but not like a big time. And I'm not dumping on him, but he's not like a big time singer-songwriter. He's just like, you know, whatever. And he got married, and People Magazine had like the People exclusive like photos of this wedding.
Yeah.
And like we didn't go to it because we went to Ryan Porth's wedding instead.
Justin Fields.
Yes, the Justin Fields wedding. And and we went to Ryan Porth's wedding instead. And I'm going to say, I think my girlfriend probably was a little jealous that we didn't go to the People Magazine one, you know, just because it was the People exclusive photos.
But they were really good biscuits at Ryan Porth's wedding. So,
I'm surprised.
You know,
I'm surprised somebody wasn't there for the exclusive photos of Ryan Porth's wedding.
I mean, there should have been.
So Josh Allen. Time. Signs a massive contract. We talked the other day about, you know, signing guys' extensions. I said, if you got Allen or Lamar Jackson, you should jump at it. Baker, you don't know what you're going to do, but you should jump at it when it comes to Allen or Lamar Jackson, because whoever signs first gets less money. So if you sign today and you get $43 million a year like what Josh Allen got, I'm going to then want to sign tomorrow, and I'm going to want $43.5 million. I learned this when, like, Eli Manning signed a contract, and that was the highest in the history of football. And then Matthew Stafford signed, and that was the highest in football. And then Derek Carr signed, and that was the highest in football. And I'm like, really the highest in football for Derek Carr? Like, really? Like, so that's just what happens. Now, Mahomes is at $45 million a year, but that doesn't kick in for another couple of years. But so Watson is 40 and Dak is 40 and now Allen is 43 and Jackson's probably going to be 43.5. And then the one that comes after that, whomever it is probably going to be 44, and it's just going to continue. And then the cap's going to go up, and then the next one's going to be 50. And it's just, that's exactly what's going to happen with quarterbacks. You pay your quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, $29.5 million on average. Now, if there's anything I learned with Floyd, it was that you can manipulate the cap number however you want to. You can make a guy who gets paid $80 million in 1 year to spread it out over the course of that contract so that even though your team wrote this man an $80 million check, his cap number is $6.5 million. You can do all kinds of crazy stuff. But in reality, you ultimately have to pay whatever you give. So the LA Rams are still paying, I believe, $28 million this year to Jared Goff and Todd Gurley on their cap, even though neither guy's on their team anymore. It's amazing.
But the way that the Rams front office operates gives me major anxiety. They have no picks and no cap space.
Oh, and they give no, they don't care.
They don't care.
And
they just
keep
wheeling and dealing on house money, and it scares me.
I mean, and if you factor in their business side of it, where they're taking out these massive loans on that stadium, that would probably give you a lot of anxiety too.
Yeah.
But, like, that's just, you ultimately have to pay for whatever you give. So I know that you can get funny money and all this stuff, but if you give a man $23 million, at some point you're paying $23 million. So Josh Allen's cap number is not going to be $43 million over the next 4 years, but ultimately in some of these years it's going to be higher than $43 million. Like Tannehill's 29.5 average, in a couple of years it's going to be 32, and it's going to be 36. And it's, so that's what happens. And the reason I bring this up is because now the Buffalo Bills, they can't go sign another Stephon Diggs. Their defense dropped off. They had a great defense 2 years ago. Their defense fell back significantly last year. Now, their offense took huge strides, but they're not going to be able to go out and add premium defensive players. They're not going to be able to sign a $7 million anti-vaxxing slot receiver like Cole Beasley again. So you better hit on your draft picks now, because you're not going to fix your offensive line. You're not going to be able to go out there and make big adjustments. You might have one or two guys that you can bring in and you can pay big money to if you're Buffalo going forward, but that's it. I've talked about Kansas City. Now, I still don't totally figure out. I still don't totally know how they've worked around the cap, but part of it is the Mahomes contract hasn't kicked in yet. But at some point, once you sign your quarterback, everybody else has to go away. Aaron Rodgers has one Super Bowl. You know when he won it? On his rookie contract. Russell Wilson has one Super Bowl. Guess when he won that one? On his rookie contract. Tom Brady has seven Super Bowls. But guess what he does? He takes less. Brady takes $25 million a year. Josh Allen gets 43. There's a big difference. Remember when Bill O'Brien made all those win now moves in Houston? He adds Laramie Tunzel and then has to pay him a fortune. They sign all these guys to big contracts like Randall Cobb and Brandon Cooks. And once they sign Deshaun Watson, goodbye DeAndre. Goodbye JJ. You just can't build your team anymore once you sign the quarterback to a massive contract. I still don't know how Kansas City's figured it out, because they're paying Frank Clark, Chris Jones, Travis Kelce, and Patrick Mahomes. But next year when it's time to pay Tyreek Hill, I'm not sure he'll be there. That's how a salary cap works. And while I don't think Tannehill is a better quarterback than Josh Allen, I'd rather have Tannehill at $29.5 million than Josh Allen at 43, when I have to say goodbye to Stephon Diggs, when I can't bring in a running back, when I can't make the moves necessary to put me over the top, because I'm still, even with my $43 million quarterback, I'm still losing by 20 in the AFC Championship game. So good luck to the Ravens when they sign Lamar, and good luck to the Bills with this Josh Allen contract, and even good luck to the Chiefs when the Mahomes deal kicks in and these guys have to go away. Because I've seen it. I saw it in Seattle with Russell. I saw it in Green Bay with Aaron. I saw it in Baltimore with Joe Flacco, and once he got paid and they had to tear that team apart. So the truth is, you pay the quarterback, it's a lot harder to win. And when you pay the quarterback, it better be Manning. It better be Mahomes. We'll see what they look like when that contract kicks in. But remember, he won his on his rookie contract. Baltimore went 14-2 on Lamar's rookie contract. So just keep that in mind as far as the Josh Allen contract's concerned.
But my question is, at what point is it just extending a quarterback and then kind of setting up your team, I don't want to say for failure, but maybe for not as much success down the road once you get to the end of that? And how much is it capitalizing on a window that the Bills potentially could have to win the Super Bowl?
Well, Josh Allen's the best quarterback they've had since Jim Kelly.
Right.
So they don't have
a choice.
Stephon
Diggs is there through 2025, I want to say.
But they don't have a choice, though, like as far as signing Josh Allen to this contract. And if the Titans had, if Mariota had made it, they'd have no choice but to give Mariota the money. But the thing that, I remember this when I first started working with Floyd, and Russell Wilson was going to need a new contract in Seattle. And he said the second that they sign him, Marshawn Lynch has to go. And he said Marshawn Lynch is infinitely more important to what they do than Russell Wilson. And I said, so then why would you sign, so would you sign Wilson? He goes, yep. I go, why? He goes, quarterback. So you don't have the choice. Like, you have to sign the quarterback. But once you sign the quarterback, now you're in trouble. I'll give you another example. Steve McNair, he made it to the Super Bowl in his fifth year. Guess how many years a rookie contract is?
Five
years. it eventually catches up to you. You know what happened after that Super Bowl season? Eddie George signed a contract extension. Guess what happened the next year? Goodbye, Yancey Thigpen. Goodbye, Carl Pickens. Goodbye, Lorenzo Neal, maybe the best blocking fullback in the NFL. Goodbye. The next year, goodbye, Blaine Bishop. Goodbye, Chris Sanders. That's what happens. So, and the Titans are certainly in a similar situation. They had to allocate money for Henry and Mariota. Mariota didn't make it. They gave the money to Tannehill. Goodbye, Jack Conklin. Goodbye, Logan Ryan. Goodbye, Jarrell Casey. I mean, it certainly happens. Corey Curtis, News 2, will join us next. His reactions from what he's seen at Titans camp. What does he think about some of the moves they've made? He'll be on the call next week when the Titans kick off the preseason. Corey Curtis, News 2, joins us next. Stillman & Company, we're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. And let's give away some James Taylor tickets while we're at it. Be caller 5 right now at 615-737-1025, and you'll win a pair of tickets to see James Taylor at Bridgestone Arena on Monday, August 16th. 615-737-1025 is that phone number. Corey Curtis next. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You know, day off yesterday. How do you think things went today in terms of being crisp and all that?
Yeah, it wasn't where I wanted it to be. You know, we had an opportunity there to go finish off a two-minute drive and win the game with a field goal. We weren't able to do that. Weren't as crisp on third down. Had some opportunities and didn't execute on third down. We just got to be better. I think we did a couple good things today, but overall, just didn't have the urgency and the preciseness on the details like I like to see. So definitely a lot of room to improve and look forward to coming back tomorrow and working on those things.
Ryan Tannehill not happy with today's practice. And as I came on to start the show today, I've been at pretty much all of them. And there is a lot left to see from the offense, a lot to be desired. That having been said, no Derrick Henry, no Julio Jones, no Taylor Lewan today, no Roger Saffold, Ben Jones, Nate Davis, no Josh Reynolds. We don't know who's going to play right tackle. So it is somewhat understanding that the offense would be behind, but Tannehill's not happy about it. Corey Curtis joins us now on a Fireball Hot Take Friday from News 2. So, Corey, you were out at practice the other day. You know, the offense is a little bit behind the defense. What do we make of that? Tannehill's still not happy with it, although I don't think he's panicking. What do you make of it as next week becomes kind of a game prep week as they get ready for Atlanta?
Well, as you talked about, they're kind of going into a gunfight with a spoon. When you talk about all the guys they're not going in with. So, you know, the defense should be ahead of them. Still, there is a rhythm, a pace, a timing that I'm sure that they want to have no matter who the guys are that are out there. And for Tannehill, it's you know, we know how frustrating it is for backup quarterbacks because they're working with guys who aren't the guys, and so they don't get necessarily the same looks. And I think Tannehill probably going through a little bit of that right now.
What do you think of the Titans this early stage in preseason? And, you know, you would probably have a different look at it than I do because, well, for one, you've been doing this a lot longer than I have. But you're going to be on the call next Friday night with Charles Davis and company on the sidelines. And the guys that are going to play in that game are the guys we see out at the practice field here. Whereas I look at practice and I see a two-minute drill and a ball off of A.J. Brown shoulder pads into the arms of David Long Jr. And I'm thinking that could cost you a game. You know, that kind of thing could cost you a game. Whereas we know at training camp, there are good things and bad things, and they got to work through them, and they're certainly not a finished product getting ready for the Arizona Cardinals, Corey.
So you're asking me what I see?
Yes.
You know, look, I think expectations are raised. You know, we expect to see an offense that scored 30 points a game last year, adding Julio Jones, and we expect them to be even better. But like we talked about, we're not seeing those guys. We're seeing a lot of second and third teamers. And I expect to see a subpar product from second and third teamers. And so that's kind of what we're seeing. Now, I know you said a ball, I guess, bounced off Julio or A.J. Brown today. I don't worry about that. I don't worry about A.J. Brown. I wouldn't get too up in the air. And they've also only had pads on for 3 days. Now, I guess that sounds like a lot of excuse making. I think when the sample size gets bigger, like a week and a half from now, if we're still seeing a lot of the same things, I think there's probably a little bit more reason for concern. But right now, with the people that are out there, not to say those people can't play better, because they can and they need to, you know, we're seeing what you expect to see, which is an imperfect product from players who aren't starters.
Mm-hmm. Corey Curtis, News 2 is our guest. Are you buying what the defense is selling, that they have improved and that this year they will not be the defense they were last year?
I'm buying that they believe they're improved. I'm buying that they're doing the work to improve. I'm going to need to see it on the field before I believe they are improved. You know, do I think they're doing a lot of the right things? Yes. Do I think making Shane Bowen, naming him the defensive coordinator, is the right thing to do? If you're bringing him back, it absolutely is. So I think, you know, coaching-wise, they've handled it the right way. And I think, you know, the players who are returning clearly have a chip. And I think there's clearly been a vibe and energy on the defensive side of the ball. Because I think some of those guys, you know, like Kevin Byard, you know, a prideful guy. I think they're pretty embarrassed from last year. I think they're a motivated group, but I'm not going to believe they're better until I see it.
So I was thinking about this today when I saw Bud Dupree on the practice field. He didn't do much. I mean, he was out there doing some drills, and then in the 7-on-7, they'd snap the ball, and he'd take a knee, and that was pretty much it. But mm-hmm. He and Farley are out there, and I said this in the last hour, which is, I think it's a big deal that he and Farley are out there. And not only do I think it's a big deal, I think it's also a big deal when you compare it with what Indianapolis went through this week. So two guys we were banking on as far as defensive success this year, we were worried that they may not even make it to the field. They're now on the active roster. They're now wearing pads and participating at least a little bit in practice, whereas Indy lost their most important player and their best player, and that makes me feel really good, Corey.
Yeah, well, no, I completely agree with you. You know, you're talking about one team loses, as you put it, their most important player and their best player, and you don't know when they're going to get back. And the Titans are getting back on the field the two most important additions to their defense that they were trying to rebuild. I mean, the guy that they spent a first-round pick on and the guy that they spent $16 million a year on. And getting them back now is hugely important because it doesn't put week one into question. You know, you look at both of those guys and you know they're going to be ready to go in week one. If, you know, obviously Bud will be a starter. I expect Caleb to be starting. I mean, you know, he's a first round pick. That's just what I expect him to do. And we'll see what happens. But getting them back this early, because when you start on PUP, you just never know. And if they were this close, I would imagine they were pretty active the last couple of weeks. And so I'm very optimistic about their return for the opener and their level of preparedness, because you don't like them to come off PUP the week of the first game and then they just get, you know, a handful of practices under their belt and they go. They're going to have some time to get ready, and they've both been rehabbing a long time, so they need it.
I asked Bud Dupree how long it's going to take him to come back, you know, to feel, how much work does he have to put in to feel like he's ready? And he basically said, you know, I need to be on the field to learn the scheme and learn the verbiage and learn where I'm supposed to be and everyone else is going to be. As far as the skills and the technique, like he basically said, he's ready to go. Corey Curtis, News 2 is with us. How concerned are you at kicker?
Did you watch the game last night?
I watched a game. Hey, I just saw the guy that kicked the Titans into the AFC South last
Loman.
Year. And he stinks. And then, I watched Dwayne Haskins and he stinks. So, yeah, I watched a little bit of the game.
Mason Rudolph made Dwayne Haskins look like an all-pro. Mason Rudolph is horrible. But, yeah, I mean, look, am I concerned? Yeah. I mean, we've been concerned about the way they've handled the kicking position all summer long. And now they bring in Sam Ficken. And, look, I know, like, the first day he went 6-for-6, and I thought he looked really good doing it. But he's Sam Ficken, all right? Rob Baronis came in out of nowhere. Who did he kick for? The New York Dragons before the Titans had him?
Correct.
And, you know, the Titans also weren't a Super Bowl contender when they signed him. And so I think that's the concern here, is that, you know, you gotta have a guy in your team who you think can kick you to the AFC Championship game or can kick you to the AFC South title. You know, you got big kicks to make. And for as inconsistent as Gostkowski was last year, he made the most of the big kicks. I mean, I know he missed the Pittsburgh one, but I think all the other game winners, he pretty much knocked through. Mm-hmm. And so to have a question mark at that position and being such an important position is kind of baffling. It's kind of baffling. And look, I know they probably wanted Tucker McCann to win that spot, but I don't think we're there where any of us look at Tucker McCann and go, yeah, he's ready to run away and take that spot. I mean, you know, Sam Ficken is here, but I still feel like Gostkowski is the inevitability that's coming. And, you know, he's got to be better than last year. I don't know if he's going to wear a sock or not. I don't care, but he's got to start better than he does last year when he gets here, because I think that's what's going to happen.
So I think a couple of things to that. And the one thing I would say is, you know, I'm the guy in the media that runs down when they kick the field goals and tells everybody good or no good or whatever. But the one thing that that's allowed me to do is that I get a vantage point by if a guy makes a kick by how much they make it by. And I have noticed this. Like, I am ready to release Tucker McCann. Like, just how I was ready to release Blake Hallbeal last week, I was ready to – I mean, you and I were talking the other day about DeShone Kizer at practice because, woof. And I like Kizer because he's a nice guy, but –
Well, yeah, and he had a higher ceiling. You wanted him to do better.
I mean, we were told he had a higher ceiling, but I saw Kizer, you saw Kizer. That move probably didn't surprise. I mean, he is terrible. Yeah. And I watch McCann, and I'm like – he's got to go. They worked out Zane Gonzalez yesterday. I think that there's a guy who's going to lose his job, who was kicking last year for some other team, who will lose his job on September 7th, and the Titans will sign him on September 8th, and he will kick whatever that date of the Arizona game is. He will be kicking for the Titans. I don't think either of these guys are going to be the kicker this year.
Well, I mean, remember when the Titans signed Succop?
Yes.
I mean, they had the kid from Washington. And everybody knew that it was Cairo Santos or Ryan Succop in Kansas City, and the Titans' plan was to sign whoever they didn't keep. That was, and everybody assumed it was going to be Succop. So there wasn't a whole lot of mystery to it. Right now, Jared, I don't know who that guy is, and he may be out there, and John Robinson may know that there's a team looking to make a change at kicker, but I hate to bring this up. What if they don't? If they don't? What if the guy they thought was going to unseat their guy struggles and they have to keep him? And now you're heading into the season with a giant question mark at kicker again, and, you know, you're on the verge of another kicker carousel, you know, for a possible third straight year.
Well, to answer your question, what if they don't? Like, if that guy doesn't get cut, then I think they call Gostkowski. And I don't think they want to call Gostkowski, but I think that's probably what they do. Corey Curtis, News 2 with us. I would say this. One thought before we'll get to your hot take, which is Chris Ballard in Indianapolis gets all the credit in the world about how he's just the greatest general manager who ever lived, and he's the best drafter, and they've got the best system, and he's the best, and we should all kiss the football ground he's walked on. He's a 500 general manager. I think they've won one playoff game since he was there. They've had no plan since Andrew Luck retired. They had no plan at left tackle this year until they signed an injured Eric Fisher, and now they're looking, and they are staring down the barrel of 1-4 or 0-5 with Jacob Eason as their starting quarterback. The reason I say this to you is we get on John Robinson a lot. And when I say we, I mean me. But 5 winning seasons in 5 years as a general manager, 3 playoff appearances. I don't agree with everything. Isaiah Wilson was a bust. Corey Davis never made it. I don't like how they handled the Mike Mularkey situation. But at the end of the day, when we see all the praise Ballard gets and the situation he's put the Colts in, do we not? Does that not kind of maybe open our eyes to Robinson to say, you know, maybe JR is onto something and maybe he deserves a little bit more credit from us?
Well, he deserves credit because he handled the quarterback situation the right way. He had a quarterback who had a hard time staying healthy, and he understood that the backup quarterback wasn't good enough to get him to the playoffs the year before. He had to improve that situation. I don't know how Chris Ballard went into this situation without a plan B, because there were two things that could possibly happen to Wentz. He could be hurt or he could not be any good. Those are two distinct possibilities that could happen with him. And to go in with no backup situation, to me, when you've got some comfortable cap space, is completely irresponsible. And look, the media nationally loves the Colts still because of the whole Peyton Manning era, and they dominated the division for 20 years. And so they're going to give them the benefit of the doubt for whatever reason. I don't know if it's their hideous marshmallow uniforms or what, but they're going to stick with them the whole way. But, I mean, look, Ballard's done a lot of good things, but the handling of the quarterback situation is a major gaffe. It's a major gaffe that could tank a season in which if they had a really good quarterback, you know, they're challenging for something. But without it, now they're looking at picking possibly in the top 10, top 12. And it does lie on the general manager because he's the one who put them in this situation.
Corey Curtis, News 2 is our guest. Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's your hot take this week, Corey?
Well, I heard this was going to set you off, so I'm going to double down on it. I think Chris Ballard should trade for Marcus Mariota.
Oh, my goodness. You, Kayla Anderson. I heard Kayla Anderson say this, and I stopped in my tracks, and I just blew her phone up when I heard that because he doesn't know their system. And then I saw her that day at practice, and she goes, I just said it was an option. And I'm like, it's not an option. It's not an option.
It should be an option. Jared, who would you rather have out there? Marcus learning the system, healthy Marcus learning the system, or Jacob Eason?
I'd rather have Nick Foles.
You'd rather have Nick Foles. You'd rather have Nick Foles than Marcus Mariota. Have you watched Nick Foles in the last few years?
Yes. I love Marcus. Remember, I love Marcus.
He's terrible. Look, I'm a Bears fan. He's terrible.
But you can't put a guy in there that doesn't know the plays.
It's football, Jared. He'll be okay. He'll be okay. And you know what else he is? He's on a reduced contract, down to about $3 million, all right? So you trade for him, and guess what? Now you got two guys on an expiring deal, and you get to see if either one of them can be the guy for next year, okay? You double down on your chance on two quarterbacks who struggle with injury and struggle with confidence a little bit because that's where you are, all right? Nick Foles has no chance to be the future of your football team. Zero chance. But you could see if Marcus Mariota, healthy and paired with Frank Reich, if that's a winning combination or not, when he only costs you $3 million and he's only on the hook for one season.
If this were February 26th, then I would be open to the possibility of the Colts adding Mariota. It is August 6th, and he has never played that system. There's no way you can put him out there.
You know what that's like saying? Well, I've never tried a heart beer before, so I'm not going to try it. So I'm going to have this Budweiser. Even though it's been sitting on the counter for the last 2.5 days and it has 3 flies buzzing around it, I know Budweiser, so I'm going to go drink that one instead.
Do you remember when the San Francisco 49ers traded for Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yes, I do.
Okay, when the 49ers traded for Jimmy Garoppolo, he sat on the bench for a month while C.J. Beathard lost games because they needed Jimmy to learn the offense before they could put Jimmy out there, and then Jimmy went 6-0 or whatever.
They were not a good team. They were not a contender. They had time to let him do it, okay? Look, if they thought they were a Super Bowl team, guess what? He would have been out there, but they knew they stunk, so they could sit him. Everybody was stunned when he went 5-0 because they weren't any good, all right?
No, but my point is the quarterback's got to sit to learn. He's got to learn, and I just
– for him now. He has a month, okay?
Then maybe he have now. A shot because they tried that with Brissett a couple of years ago, and
– Brissett's not any good.
I'm not saying that because it worked with Brissett or didn't work with Brissett, it's not going to work. I'm just saying they tried that with Brissett, and they had mixed results. I mean, I bet they wish they had Brissett right now.
He's not – look, he's barely better than Jacob Eason.
No, he's better than Jacob Eason. Sam Ellinger might be the starting quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts. How does that make you feel? Crazy.
Who's that wide receiver from the Broncos who started last year? Maybe they can trade for him.
Now, that guy sucks. Corey Curtis, News 2, as always. Corey, appreciate you.
Hey, you have a great weekend.
Hey, by the way, News 2 next Friday night, the home of the opener, Titans and Falcons. And I'm sure that not only will you be on the sidelines sporting your Titans gear, but I'm sure News 2 will have a bunch of great coverage leading up to it and after it as well.
You know what? We'll see. I'm not privy to these plans. We'll have the game. I know that.
Do you know how you're getting there?
I'm driving.
How are you going to get to all the other ones?
I'm flying to Tampa, and I'm driving to Nissan Stadium for the Bears game.
Ah, Corey Curtis, as always. Appreciate you, Corey.
All right, thanks, Jared.
Yep, Corey Curtis joining us on the program, as always. Well, no. I'm not trying to hitch a ride with Corey Curtis, although I wouldn't be completely against it. I'm not going. I'm not going to Atlanta. I'm going to Tampa for the practices. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to stay for the game. And I'm probably not going to make it to Nissan Stadium for that Bears game.
I will be there.
I think wrestling's on or something else is going on that day.
Interesting how you're not going to go to that game. And I get all this stuff for not watching the Hall of Fame game.
I can't remember the last preseason Titans game I attended in person.
I'm excited. This is my first in-person.
You know what?
Titans
That's wrong.
Game.
I went. They played the Steelers 2 years ago. And it was Sunday Night Football in the preseason. And it was bad. Mariota basically got knocked out of the game, and it was a preseason game, so he got sacked like twice. Vrabel just took him out because he was like, I'm not leaving him out there to get hurt. So they put Tannehill back in, or they put Tannehill in, so Tannehill had to play I think the entire first half. And I was like, why you take Marcus out? You got Now, of course, Tannehill's got him in the AFC Championship game, so who knows? 615-737-1025. We'll hit the headlines with Caroline. We'll do that coming up next. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Stillman & Company. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company. I just heard that TD clip right there where he talked about Tannehill being better than Kirk Cousins. I would agree. And after yesterday, I think Tannehill is smarter than Kirk Cousins and more educated on vaccine research than Kirk Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised we didn't get a lot of people angry in the text line yesterday when I said that watching Tucker Carlson is not research for the vaccine.
We had a couple texts in there, not Tucker Carlson related, but vaccine related. We had a few in there. They usually come in like wildfire.
They're all the same.
Yeah, if you say the V word, then they come in like crazy. Yeah, right.
Time for headlines with Caroline.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman & Company, right here on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
First, say this, I haven't promoted it yet. 4 o'clock, I've got the starting 22 for the Titans. The 22, I think, is going to start for the Titans. I haven't promoted that at all, but I'm very excited about it, so that's at 4 o'clock. Go ahead.
You're feeling 22?
I'm not the one feeling 22, but there is...
Someone will be soon.
We got some feeling 22. Go.
So, Sinclair Broadcast Group is up to something. That is the broadcasting group that owns and oversees the Bally Sports Regional Network. So they are getting into what is called the direct-to-consumer side of things, which is basically just a really fancy way of saying live streaming. So they have a very broad vision for what they want their DTC or live streaming to look like. They want consumers to be able to buy individual streams, which would be huge because now you buy the network and you're able to stream whatever games are on that network. But this would give sports fans the ability to pay for one game, kind of similar to how you watch fights, for example, a pay-per-view type of subscription. And it would also provide fans the ability to bet in live time. So the stream would be the game, and then you would have live betting lines on the side, and you can bet directly there. So it's almost like a live game / sports book experience all in one and all from home. So that is really cool.
So I think Sinclair, this was their vision the whole time, with not necessarily the live streaming, but the ability to bet with their app, the Bally Sports app. That's a great way to monopolize your game. Sure, and that's why they sold their naming rights to Bally's, you know, which is a casino company.
Right.
I think here's the thing, though, that I worry about with Sinclair doing this is, you know, if you have Bally Sports, you pay a lot of money for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like in your cable bill, Comcast, DirecTV, like there's a reason why YouTube TV doesn't want it because it's so expensive and YouTube TV wants to be cheaper. Hulu Live wants to be cheaper than actual cable. And so there's a big drawback there. Well, I can't imagine Comcast is going to be okay with me saying, I'm not going to have to buy cable, so I'm just going to buy the channel directly. And that Comcast or DirecTV or these big cable companies that offer this product, I can't imagine them saying, okay, we feel comfortable paying $11 a month to you in order for all of our consumers to have to buy your channel when people can just buy it without buying us. I see there being a little bit of a hiccup there that I've never totally understood.
I do see where you're coming from, but I do think that the people who have cable, they're not getting rid of cable, but there are increasingly more and more people who have no interest in getting cable and would go without even watching the game that they want to watch rather than getting cable to watch Bally Sports.
Right, but then I don't need your channel. So, like, if the people who want to watch the Preds are going to pay $11 a month to watch the Preds, then I don't need your channel anymore, and I don't need to pay you $11 a month to put the Preds on there when I can just take it off, and those people can then just go buy the Preds. And then how many people, like, being serious here and not no disrespect, how many people have Comcast cable in Nashville that don't give two poops about the Preds, Grizz, Braves, you know, all those? And I'm gonna, I think it'd be a lot.
Yeah.
So I would be concerned about that if I was Bally Sports and Sinclair launching that app, but I'm sure they've thought that through. What's next?
Well, and I do also think it would they would start with big things, like start with the Super Bowl, start with the College Football National Championship. So things that people would buy one by one rather than as a package.
No, they're not going to give the rights to Sinclair to stream that.
No, no, no. But I'm saying like big events like that where people would pay to just watch one. The UFC, for example. But so in another network's news, RG3 has signed a multi-year deal to join ESPN as a college football and NFL analyst. So he will call weekly ESPN and ABC college football games. He'll contribute to ESPN's coverage of college football and NFL coverage throughout the week as well. But that's not the interesting part to me. The most interesting part is what he said about it. He says ESPN has been great through this whole process and understanding that I still want to play. He says, I love the game. If that opportunity doesn't come, I'll be giving everything I have to ESPN and this process. So he's saying, okay, I'm doing this for now. I'm with ESPN now. But if someone calls me up and says, hey, RG3, we want you, he's going to ditch ESPN and put the pads back on.
I do love ESPN don't buy it. Reporting news about ESPN. Like, I do love that, and I also
ESPN
love,
PR.
Yeah, like, ESPN, yeah. Like, headline, RG3 joins ESPN, but still wants to play. Okay.
ESPN didn't report that. He said that to the Associated Press.
Well, no, but it was in, it was at ESPN.com. The
was
headline
it?
Was RG3 to ESPN, but still wants to play.
Classic.
I mean, and we've got this whole collusion right now that the Big 12 is, you know, pointing a finger at ESPN that we all kind of think they probably did. Right?
Kansas wants the FBI. To investigate ESPN.
Kansas does not. A senator from Kansas wants that. And we've seen some senators do some crazy stuff lately, so I don't put too much stock in. Senator says, I mean, like, I'm not going to lie to you. When I was a kid, I used to always look at, like, the, oh, my God, that's a senator. And honestly, if one of our two senators called me and I thought what they said was something stupid, I'd let them know that it was something stupid.
That's fair.
So that's kind of where that's kind of where we are now with senators, but I hear what you're saying. Those are headlines with Caroline here on the program. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. There is a big event this weekend that I have a lot of thoughts on. I want to get to that next, and we will. Fireball Hot Take Friday. You all know I love Fireball Sin Whiskey. It goes down so smooth, and it tastes so great. Be sure to ignite the night. It is summer, the weekend before the fall, so people are doing all kinds of summer-like things. So whether you're going to be on the lake or with your friends or at a bar, whatever it may be, ice-cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey is the way to ignite the night. Please do it responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy. That's Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Stillman & Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company, we got a lot of stuff going on in town. We have the Titans in practice. We have the Grand Prix this weekend, which is screwing up the roads for a lot of people, but hopefully it's all worth it. We'll see. And we've got the Sound Saturday night, the Toledo Mud Hens. You can hear the game on ESPN 94.9 with Jeff M. But Caroline Fenton is throwing out the first pitch at First Horizon Park. Tickets on sale now, 7 o'clock time. For the first pitch, I'm going to give you some advice.
Okay.
And by advice,
you are expert pitching advice.
Let me tell you something. Two first pitches at the Sounds, two strikes. Last time I threw one,
okay,
the catcher came up to me the first time I threw it. Catcher came up to me and said, great throw, Poppy. And the second time I threw it, Ricky Henderson, and Chase has this on tape, Ricky Henderson, because he, at the time they were with the A's, and Ricky was the roving instructor for like the base running coach for the A's, and Ricky was there like coaching up the sound player, and Ricky said, great first pitch. Wow. And then Ricky signed the ball because, like, they give you the ball back when you're done with it. Uh-huh. And I'm like, what am I to do with a baseball? I'm like, hey, Ricky, will you sign this? So Ricky Henderson signed it, and a buddy of mine is, like, a die-hard Oakland A's fan, and I gave him the Ricky Henderson baseball.
That's pretty cool.
So, enough about me. Here's the advice. And by advice,
I appreciate your advice.
I mean more like mandate. Do not bounce the ball. There is no excuse if you bounce that ball. So I'm just telling you right now, a couple years ago, I was getting ready to throw out the first pitch, and I was like, you're going to get nervous when you throw out the first pitch.
I'm already kind of nervous.
You're going to get nervous.
You're making me nervous.
And Floyd said to me, whatever you do, don't you bounce that bleeping ball. And I was like, okay, he's going to never let me hear the end of it if I bounce it. So there were like, there were a bunch of nuns that were sitting behind home plate, like, you know, kind of up. And I said to myself, you know, and obviously, like, there's a net there, you know.
Right.
But I literally said, I was like, all right, we're either going to hit the net on the nuns or we're going to fire it right down the plate. But the last thing we're going to do is bounce the ball. So I chucked it and it ended up being a perfect strike. And that was then when I got the good job, Poppy.
I'm so sure the nuns appreciate that as well.
My advice, amen. My advice is aim high. Give it everything you've got.
Okay.
And aim high. But the mandate is do not bounce the ball. If you want to be a respected member of this show and you are representing this show at the Sounds game, do not bounce the ball. I don't care if you throw it into the dugout. Do not bounce the ball.
I was actually practicing the other day, and I think when we had first, when this all came to fruition a couple months ago, you told me that on the air and off the air, do not bounce the ball. So I've been practicing this week. I borrowed a ball, so thank you so much for offering
it
up.
You keep the ball.
Thank you. You mean it?
And you know I took that out of the plastic and gave it to you, right?
That's so nice of you.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. But I've been practicing, and I heard that in my head over and over again, is don't bounce the ball. So I was just lobbing it, absolutely lobbing it, bringing back my softball days. And it was, none of them hit the ground, I do have to say.
Now, remember this,
knock on wood.
Are you standing in front of the mound, or are you going to stand on the mound?
I want to say on the mound, but I don't want to get ahead of myself there.
Okay.
Would you rather me stand on the mound and bounce the ball off the mound down the money?
To me, not throwing from the mound is not an option.
Okay, then I will throw from the mound.
So if they
will throw from the mound.
Because every now and then you see like an old P-pop that goes out there and it's like, please welcome the 71-year-old vice president of Jared Stillman Motors, Johnny Jackson. And he goes out there and he like an old P-pop stands from the front and kind of like, and then all of a sudden like, no. Baseball is 60 feet, 6 inches. You stand on that rubber. And that now this is where it gets a little tricky because some people throw down. And when you're going down off the mound, the trajectory
it goes
of
into
the ball,
the dirt.
And you better not bounce the ball.
I just don't want to 50 cent it.
Well, you're not going to do that.
That, I mean.
But do not, if you do that, I mean, don't.
That's
even,
the
don't,
worst.
Do not even show up for work Monday or Tuesday. Like, do not bounce the ball. Ian, how do we feel about Caroline's ability to not bounce the ball?
I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Thank you, Ian.
I'm nervous.
What the heck?
I'm nervous.
You've never seen me throw a ball.
You threw it in my living room the other day.
Well, I was scared of hitting your TV. It was either the TV, the window, or a lamp, or you. And so I was a little bit concerned about giving it everything that I got.
Do not bounce the ball.
I won't bounce the ball, I promise. I won't bounce the ball.
I might
get a deal signed this weekend. They may see my arm and say, hey, that girl, we like her.
Do not bounce the ball.
I promise I will not.
Okay. What happens?
You have my word.
What happens if you do bounce the ball?
That I guess I'm not showing up to work on Monday or Tuesday.
Oh, interesting. I would say don't bounce the ball.
Well, if I bounce the ball, then I know that I'll never hear the end of it. So that's my motivation,
okay.
Is just to not hear it from you.
Stillman & Company coming up next. Real important. I've got the 22 starters that I think are starting for the Titans. We'll do that next. Stillman & Company, Fireball Hot Take Friday. Good luck to Caroline. Get your tickets. Go Rooter on First Horizon Park. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.